Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on the show today. Dick Girardi is going to join us at 3:35 today. Tony Carr announcing today he has opted to enter into the NBA draft. His Penn State career is over because he's going to also opt for an agent. So he will play professionally somewhere next year, whether it's in the NBA, the G League, Europe, someplace. He will be a pro next year, and obviously he wants that to be the NBA. 1,100-plus points in 2 years at Penn State. Nobody had ever done that in their freshman and sophomore years before to reach over 1,100 points. And, of course, he put together an outstanding performance in the NIT championship game with 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 14 assists in that one for Penn State. So he's made his decision. His parents were there today along with Patrick Chambers. He made his decision, he said, last night. And with that, the Tony Carr career at Penn State comes to an end. But he accomplished a lot in the short period of time he was there. And it also tells you about the place of the program, too. And this is something that was brought up on the show, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. Somebody called the show and they said, what about Tony Carr possibly going pro? And I said, look, think about this. I said, let's think about this for a moment. Think about your question. You're asking if a Penn State basketball player is going to forego the final 2 years of his eligibility to go to the NBA. That's how far the program has come. Now, I think idealistically you want to build this program in an older model. Lamar Stevens staying here. You know, Josh Reeves is going to be a senior. Remember, Mike Watkins is coming back, but Mike Watkins also next year is academically a senior too. He had a redshirt year his first year. So you've got two older players there. Lamar Stevens will be a junior, older player. That's the model, I think, where Penn State thrives. But it doesn't hurt once in a while having such a great talent that they can go to the NBA and go early. Now, hopefully you'll get great evaluations when he goes. That's the only reason why I would have opted. If he had asked me, I would have strongly suggested no agent. Just to give yourself an out. Just to give yourself a little leeway here. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what Tony's situation is at home. In fact, I think I've met his father, but I think that's about it. I think I've met his father, and that's it. And that's just meeting him. So that is the story on him. And now you move on from there. And Zaire Bolden, and we'll have some Jazier Bolden and Miles Dread will come in. And obviously the door is open for Patrick Chambers in recruiting for another player if they want. Doesn't mean they have to. You know, I'm a big believer in don't just go and get somebody to fill a spot. I'm a big believer in now it's going to be the right person. Because Penn State, now with Tony Carr, Penn State was going to be, I think, a top 25 team to start next season. I think they'll still be close to that. I think they might be between 20 and 25 when the season starts, even without him. So, look, Tony did exactly what everyone hoped he would do in terms of being a player here that could take the program to a different level. And I hope he does really, really well at the next level. But, I mean, good for him. I'm thrilled for him.
Absolutely, Steve. Good afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. By the way, if Tony would happen to go late first, early second round, that would be a great jump start for him going to the next level.
Well, if he's late first, he's guaranteed.
Sure.
If he's late first, it's guaranteed money. It's a guaranteed four-year deal. But you can also get a really good contract and maybe even more negotiating leverage sometimes if you're an early second, believe it or not. As crazy as that sounds. Mid-second round, it's one thing you want to... You can get money, shorter-term contract. The one thing I think you'd like to avoid is that 50-50 contract where you're in the G League a little bit and then you're in the NBA for a little bit, whatever. I don't think he's going to... Look, I think he's got a chance to put himself in by declaring with an agent to get himself into the late first round. Now, if he had stayed, you do risk injury. Let's start with that. If he had stayed, you risk injury. Completely understand that. But say he did go through injury free and kept on the track that he's going, he could have put himself probably into the top 25 picks next year because the current high school senior crop is thinner. It's thinner. There are not going to be as many one-and-dones next year. There's not going to be as many one-and-dones next year. And I think that's... But that's next year. That's next year. And I think that now he's made his declaration, now you go with it. Penn State has to go out and replace him. Okay, you go about replacing him. Josh Reeves can be a point forward. Bolden can certainly be a guy that does some good things for you. Dredd can do some good things for you. Jamari Wheeler can do some good things for you, but you're going to go through an NBA draft, and you're going to see a Penn State name up there among one of the 60. We always had this running thing. Tony would wear glasses sometimes on the bus or on the plane. And whenever he wore his glasses, I always referred to him as Anthony. When he didn't have the glasses on, it was Tony. I'm thrilled for him. And this is... I hope he goes to the combine and he crushes it. Now, what does he have to do with the next level? Well, at the next level, to be a better player, what are a couple little things that he can do to be a better player? I think that one area will be putting on another quality 8-9 pounds would help him. Reason being, you want to be able to absorb contact and not be affected by it. At times, he would absorb contact, he'd get a little affected by it. Another 8 pounds, kind of like, get away from me, brush them off, keep going. His release of the three is something that's going to be interesting. Because when he's wide open, his release is great. I think maybe Tony only had maybe one three-pointer blocked in 2 years. So that was never really an issue. On that, I also think his floor game got just marvelously great the last 2 months. I mean, when Josh Reeves came back, it made Tony Carr a better player. Because then Tony Carr was able to, instead of feeling like he had to be the one to score all the time, he was able to dish off. I think he felt more comfortable dishing off. He didn't feel like he had to do all the scoring. And also, they did a great job of putting Josh Reeves on the ball. It took Tony off the ball, and it also took some pressure off of him. So there you are. I mean, that's the decision. I'm thrilled for him. He said he was going to wait a couple weeks, but I think he kind of looked around and said, nah, I don't need to wait a couple weeks. Let's just go. And there you go. So you got Jamari Wheeler, you got Bolden, you got Reeves, Miles Dredd, Bostic, Stevens, Buttrick, Watkins, Pierce, Hera. Then you go from there. And for Patrick Chambers, there's another opening for him on the recruiting trail. So what he wants to do about it. But would have been great for Penn State to have him back? Absolutely. Is it still great for the program that he is going to the NBA? Well, guess what? You can look at it and say, you know what? Hey, Tony Carr gets in there. Now you got Tony Carr and Tim Frazier. You got two guys in the NBA that have Penn State pedigrees. And that is also a recruiting tool. Penn State now can get you to the NBA. You're not going to have somebody come in. Well, you go there, you're going to have no shot at going to the NBA. No, they got two guys in the NBA. In the last few years, they got Frazier and Carr. And so that becomes a recruiting plus for you as well.
Yeah, when you brought up the possible injury, future injury standpoint there a few minutes ago, the first name I thought of was Tim Frazier.
Well, Frazier got hurt in his junior year. He got hurt his junior year. And then he came back, and I would guess that is usually a two-year injury. What I mean, it's a two-year injury where you're really back at 100%, usually takes a couple of years, 18 months. So Tim played his senior season probably about 80, 85%. And it used to be that he had the ability on the college level to blow by all five guys. And what would happen in his senior year in returning from that injury, he could blow by two or three guys, but he couldn't get by the other two. And that did affect a key part of his game. Tim has always been a decent shooter, not a great shooter. I think it, you know, the fact that he's had longevity in the NBA, that by the fact that he's been a decent shooter, not a great shooter, I think it's been a testimony to his athletic ability, passing ability, defensive ability. Tony's a very good shooter. He's gonna be just fine at that level. Now let the fun begin. Let's see where he gets picked in the latter stages of June. Like I said, it's gonna be great to see a Penn State name up on the board. Last time you saw a Penn State name up on the draft board, it was Calvin Booth. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They have served the Valley for decades because they've found their customers exactly the right insurance that they need, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, and they found them the best price. I mean, they'll go far and wide to find you the best price. And if There happens to be a claim, they jump in there as if it happened to them. Having a great insurance agent means so much. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tony Carr saying today he has opted to turn pro. He will hire an agent, so his Penn State career, the second he hires that agent, will be over. Jaren Jackson is also leaving Michigan State. He's going to opt for the draft. He's expected to be a top five pick. Pirates jumped out to a 5-0 lead. Now going to the top of the seventh, a 5-4 lead over Minnesota. Top of the seventh, and the Tigers lead Kansas City 6-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Cardinals lead at Milwaukee 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth. The Yankees game against the who are the Yankees playing today? Tampa Bay. Postponed because of snow. Mets and Phillies postponed because of snow. In football, they would have played, I'm telling you. It's no guts, no glory. Don't think you can play ball in the snow. That's fine. All right.
Price you pay for these early games.
No, I think it's just gutless. grab a ball, go play. Come on, I have tickets, let's go.
Yeah. Maybe like a colored ball, like maybe like a green baseball or a red baseball.
Look,
understand. Then be able to, see it in the air as the snow flies.
Look, I understand completely the what the salaries are, what the profit margin is, and why they do play 162 games. But idealistically, baseball should be playing 144 games. They should be lopping 18 games off the schedule, 9 at the front and 9 in the back. Just like basketball and hockey, you should be playing 70 games. But it's nearly impossible financially to move back from 162 to any number. I think it's almost financially impossible to... And let's see. Wait a minute. Troy said something. Let's deal in reality. Tony, first of all, Troy, I always deal in reality, okay? We said in November this was a really talented team. Troy, let's see. What's this? From an Elite 18 to what? Let's see what the heck you wrote here. All right. Let's see. Let's deal in reality. Tony Carr leaving was going to be an Elite 18 next year. If nothing less heartbreaking, it's unbelievable. Risky for him. Reeves, academic issues. You don't quite know what you're talking about there, Troy. Watkins injury, Carr leaving, three-letter league, all unfortunate, blah, 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 blah. The Reeves thing you don't quite have correct, but that's all right, Troy. That's just me having a little bit more knowledge than you do. In fact, factoring in, what was it, the... CBS Sports Net top 25. They factored in Carr leaving at Penn State 23rd. I think it's good for the program. He's not being held back by his coach. Positive for the program. Can't use that in recruiting against him. Name comes up on the draft board. That's good as well.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This is the 21st time that Dick Girardi's been on the show. That makes this... I don't know if that's true or not, but I had to say it.
I don't know. Sounds good, Steve.
It's a blackjack appearance. Nobody's going to argue. We can make up anything we want. Tony Carr, Absolutely, and we have for a decade and a half.
That's no question. Nobody makes it up better than we do, brother.
Absolutely. Tony Carr not only declaring today, but also declaring that he's going to get an agent as well. So his career is done, Dick. What was your reaction him declaring was zero surprise, but what about
right.
the agent part?
Yeah, I was a little surprised because the process is such that you can get some great input. And then if he gets the input he likes, then he can go ahead and hire an agent. But if he doesn't, and after you hire one, unfortunately, the way it's structured now, although I think that may change, Steve. I don't know if it's going to change in time for Tony if he would happen to want to change his mind. But, I would have just thought he would have wanted to kept some options open. But you know what? I'm sure he's talked about it with his family, and they've made their decision. And it's been an awesome 2 years. And NIT championship made Penn State relevant. We will miss him and wish him all the best. I know I spent some time talking to him after the game on Thursday and just said, look, talk to your family, figure out what the best decision for you guys is, and go ahead and make it. And obviously that's what he's done.
And that's the other part, too, talking about his family. We talk about Penn State and about Patrick Chambers while we're watching. His family situation has to come into play here, and he has to bring that
Absolutely.
Into consideration, which he did.
Oh, no question. Yeah, no question. Yeah, and that's all part of it, Steve. And there are some things we can't know. You know, we know the basketball part of it, and look, Tony was absolutely great for the program. First team All Big Ten, first player in school history to get 1,000 points in his freshman and sophomore years, and got better and better as the season went on. And it was the kind of recruit that Penn State just hadn't gotten. And you know what? I know I said this back, and whenever I spoke to the Hoops Club, somebody asked me, says, "Boy, wouldn't it be a shame if somebody goes to the NBA?" I said, "Hey, that's a good thing for the program is that guys are good enough to potentially go to the league." And all the best to Tony and his family. And it's been a great run. Would you like to have seen 3 or 4 years of Penn State? Sure, but that's not the way reality is anymore in the world.
Yeah, reality is not that way. And here's the other part. Now in recruiting, when somebody says, what do you want to go to Penn State for? You can't get to the league there. Well, with Tony Carr and now Tim Frazier already in, Penn State can look at him and say, you can get to the league by going here.
Yeah, and that's also a deal in reality, Steve. That is a recruiting tool for coaches. They want to know, can I get there from your school, and can you as a coach and a staff help me get there? Well, all you have to do is look at Tony from his last 2 years at Roman Catholic, where he was really good, to his freshman year last year, where he was very good, to this year, where he got dramatically better. So that tells you that it's a coaching staff that can help you get there. And obviously it's a league that can help you get there because of the competition. And, look, the NBA is the hardest league in the world to break into. I mean, that's also dealing reality there. It's nothing's easy, nothing's given to you, but hopefully Tony certainly worked hard to get in such great shape this year. I'm sure he'll do it again.
Which then brings me to the other part. A guy that's not going to opt to go is Mike Watkins, and Josh Reeves is back, and Lamar Stevens is back. How do you feel about the nucleus, especially after what we just watched in the last month?
Yeah, look, let's talk about who. I feel good because it's a really good nucleus, but you lose Shep Garner, who set the school record for threes, a huge loss. You lose Julie Moore, who was a great program guy, also a huge loss. And now you lose Tony Carr. So you're losing three of your top six or seven, depending on how you want to look at it. That's a significant loss. The good news is there are good players coming in behind Tony and the seniors. But, yeah, I mean, those are big losses. But the names you mentioned are big-time, Big Ten and national kind of players, and that's a pretty good way to start. And watching how young John Harrell played in the postseason, Steve, I think gives everybody a lot of hope because you weren't really thinking about him because he wasn't in the rotation. Now all of a sudden he's not only in, but he's a factor. I think that's huge. And we mentioned the guys that have signed, and there'll be more possible recruits for next year. So it'll be different, but I think it's been established now that the program is heading in the right direction.
And then there's the other part, too. While it is lamented that Tony Carr is opting for the NBA draft and he's going to sign with an agent, and so I understand the consternation of Penn State fans, you also have to take into account what's been lost by other programs. Cade Bates-Diop, Jackson declared today, Bridges declared, four seniors at Purdue. The league is changing all the time, too, Dick.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a great point, Steve, because I think people have a tendency, we all do, just to look at our own situation or what's going on there. There's a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people's situations. And the league, I think if Penn State had been a little luckier this year when Josh was out and then Mike was out at the end, because if you think about it, there were six Big Ten games, and I'll count the Michigan game because Mike barely played, where Penn State played without one of their regular starters. They lost five of them. If they win, say, four of the six instead of one of the six, we're probably not talking about an NIT championship right now because they're in the other tournament.
That's exactly
how close they were to breaking through into, the top four of the league last year. So, yeah, and the way guys worked, and certainly Lamar had a phenomenal finish to his season. He'll be one of the best players in the Big Ten. Josh will be one of the best players in the Big Ten. And it's always nice to start off knowing as you have a junior and a senior who will be among, at the very least, the 10 best players in the league. And I can't go over every name now because there's a bunch of guys that are putting their names in the draft. But probably among the 10 best in the league when the season starts. That's a good place to start for you.
Yeah, and that's where you have to look at it. Where is it in the big picture? Because you have to include everybody else in the big picture as well. Villanova and go ahead.
Yeah, now I was going to say, well, speaking of Villanova, if Villanova wins tonight, Steve, you and I promote a Villanova Penn State game in Hershey on Saturday. What do you think?
Let's do it. I'm all for it.
Yeah. NIT champs versus the NCAA champs, the championship of Pennsylvania. My guess is Patrick would probably be, yeah, let's try that. I'm not sure Coach Wright would. He would have a little bit more to lose. But it is interesting that the NCAA and NIT champs will either both come from Pennsylvania or both come from the Big Ten. We'll obviously know a lot more around midnight tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Big Ten was such a down league this year, yet they have an NCAA finals and an NIT champ.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't so bad as people were saying it, right? What else is new? People got a few things wrong. I know we're shocked about that, Steve.
I can't believe that. It's stunning. It's amazing how Villanova hit 18 threes in the semifinal. Michigan in the entire tournament has given up 18 threes. Something must give.
This is a fascinating matchup for that reason. I mean, Villanova's offense is the second most efficient in the KenPom era. Only Wisconsin's, the year they lost to Duke in the championship game, has been more efficient. And Villanova is obviously a much higher volume of threes than Wisconsin, but Wisconsin always had that. They were like, what, eight turnovers a game, so they maximized all their possessions. But to me, Villanova is even a better offense than Wisconsin just because they can hit you with 18 threes, which is so discouraging. Michigan's defense has carried them for 2 months. And certainly during this tournament, their offense has only had one good night, the night against Texas A&M. Well, Abdul Rahman has not played well on offense in the tournament. Very few of their guys have played well. Bogner had a good game the other night, but that in the Texas A&M is about it. I don't think that's going to work tonight, Steve. I don't think you're going to be able to win with defense alone against Villanova because they just have too much firepower. So I think it's just going to come down to how can Michigan score enough points to win. And I got to think they're going to have to get into the 70s to have a shot. And if Villanova's into the 80s, I don't see it. But Michigan's defense is that good. Look, we saw it in person in State College, and then we saw it again in the Big Ten tournament. They are that good. I think people have trouble dealing with it because it's John Beilein, and that's not how Michigan has played. But to his credit, he said, you know what, we're winning, but we're not winning enough just beating people with our offense. So he hired a defensive coach, and they've totally remade the way they played. And they've had to this year because this is, I don't know, what, the fifth or sixth best offensive team that Beilein's had at Michigan?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot more firepower.
On
those other teams, certainly the Trey Burke Hardaway team that played Louisville for the championship 5 years ago had a whole lot more firepower than this group has.
Oh, no question about that. Jay Wright, I want to say 6 years ago, were they 13-19, Dick? Does that sound right?
That is exactly right, 6 years ago.
Sometimes you'll hit a spot like that, and circumstances enter into play, injuries, who's in, who's out, whatever. did it cause him to have just even a slight change in how he wanted to make a team?
Yeah, he did. I think he had started recruiting at a potential one-and-done level and got some guys that weren't really buying into what they were doing. So, and they weren't necessarily one-and-done guys anyway. So he got out of that and started thinking four-year guys again. And he had some real good program guys already in the program, and their key recruit was Ryan Archidiakono. He was a freshman 6 years ago now. This is his second year out of there. And it kind of turned his first year, Steve, and then the second year, they won 29 games. And, I mean, it's almost mind-boggling. The last five seasons, they're 164-21. I mean, it's just like, what? And you know what he also did? They changed the style of play. They used to be high ball screens. When Patrick was there, high ball screens, take the point guard, just try to penetrate, have players like Kyle Lowry and Randy Foy. Whereas now they play very much in modern NBA style, where it's pass, 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 make the next pass, and then one after that, and moves. It's a beautiful style to watch. But, yeah, he absolutely changed the style of play, and now, of course, he's got the players to make it work. It's just, I mean, when it's working like it was Saturday night, there's nobody in college basketball is going to beat it. It's just too good.
I mean, I'm not so sure I've seen a team have 5 3-point shooters on the floor at one time. I mean, it's happened, but
and one of them 6'10", and one of them 6'9", and a whole bunch of them, Steve, if you run at them, can dribble by you and dunk on you. So, yeah, it's not like they just got guys that can stand out behind a three-point line. In fact, every one of their five different players that have made 50, other than maybe Booth, I mean, he can finish, you would think, as a high-flying finisher. Brunson certainly isn't a high flyer, but he can definitely finish. But the other three, Spellman, Bridges, and Pascal, I mean, they don't get out of the way if they're coming to the rim. And you got to guard them out there because they're all – Pascal's not a 40% shooter, although he has been lately. Spellman and Bridges are well into the 40s from three, and Bridges is sitting right at 100 threes now. So, yeah, it's a good luck guarding that.
It's also been an interesting time in sports because, obviously, Tony Carr opting today to enter the NBA draft. Tony Carr also opting to get an agent as well. And we both know that there's been a lot of talk about money and the and college football and college basketball players. How much would it help if they could take and capitalize on likeness and autographs and things like that? Would it help?
To me, Steve, I've been advocating that probably for more than a decade. You don't have to pay the players. I know the people talk about, well, we can't afford to pay the players or we do something, we'd lose some other sports. I don't think that anybody's advocating that, or at least not anybody that understands the economics. But let's say a player like Tony, who had a great year, and he decided he wanted to stay in school, and somebody in state college says, hey, Tony, we'd like you to come, and we'll give you, pick a number, to come and be our spokesperson for our car dealership. Like any other student could do that, and they won't let that. Right now, the NCAA won't let players do that, and I think that's a way to do it. And it wouldn't impact that many players. It would mostly be the star players. But why not give them some incentive to stay in school, and you have less of an incentive for the people who are going to break the rules to break the rules when you make it. It'd be very similar to the Olympic model, which has worked great. Remember when everybody said, oh, no, you can't have pros in the Olympics. It'll never be the same. Well, how'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're all pros now, every one of them.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, look, Tony's decision is his, and I'm hoping when they do some changing of the rules here that they even let a player like Tony down the road hire an agent, and his agent helps him get the feedback from the NBA, and if they say, hey, look, you're in the first round, then good, you're out. But if they say, you know what, you really might help if you went back to school, I mean, I think that's advice players should be able to get. And I don't know why it would be such a bad thing if they had a professional agent helping them. I've never understood why that was a bad thing. And I do think that's something they're considering. And, again, it's not likely to be adopted in time for Tony, but maybe down the road it could help another player or players.
There was, of course, Larry Bird was drafted while still at Indiana State because he had reached his senior year academically. And then the Celtics had 364 days to sign him, which they eventually did, as he played out his fifth year at Indiana State. Should a player be able to look at the draft and, say, not get picked and go back to school, or even if they get picked, say, in the NBA in the second round, still have the option of going back to school?
Sure, yeah. I'm for that. I think that would be a really good rule change. If you don't like what happened, then you get another crack at it. I don't see why it should be as player friendly as possible. That would be the best way I would say it, and that certainly would be player friendly, Steve. I know you and I had that conversation last week. It would make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I think it does as well. Going forward now with Penn State, a kid like Jamari Wheeler, you and I both know they're going to take some time and work on his shot. His importance of the program, which was already critical on the defensive end, how much more important does he become now that today's announcement is official?
Yeah, and look, he's always was going to be important, but yeah, Jamari does a lot of really good things on the court. He just doesn't have any particular confidence in his shot at the moment, but that can be worked on. You said it the other day, DJ Newbill didn't have a whole lot of confidence in his shot, and look what happened to him. He had a phenomenal career, and think about this. Josh Reeves was 3-for-39 his first year from three at Penn State, and this year he was and probably would have been over 40% for the season if he hadn't missed that time and kind of lost the mechanics for a couple of games. And Tony, I mean, think of Tony last year was, I want to say, 32% or so from three. And this year, the last I looked, he was in the mid-40s. So, yeah, it's doable. And it's a lot easier to work when you have people specifically to work with you and get you the mechanics. So, yeah, look, Jamari has skills that you can't teach. He's got that speed. He's got the want-to. He's a phenomenal defender. But let's also deal in reality. It's not going to be easy to replace a player like Tony because he was just such a unique player in that he could post up. He was a really good free throw shooter. And his last game at Penn State, he had, what, 14 assists?
Yeah,
just missed a triple double. Those are hard to come by. There's never been a points, assists, rebound, triple double in Penn State history. And as you said to us, and I went back and looked at it. Remember that one rebound where he dropped it out of bounds?
Yeah,
in the second half, that was the one where he said, "Man, I can't believe I dropped one." But you know, he'll remember. They'll remember the trophy a lot more than that one drop rebound. But yeah, that's how close he was. And he's big. He's a 6'5" point guard. They're hard to find. And really nobody, with a couple of exceptions in the Big Ten in the last 2 months, they couldn't guard him. I mean, Ohio State never could figure out how to guard him. I mean, he nailed them in all three games.
Okay. It's going to bring with it a challenge not having a legitimately outstanding college player out there.
Yep.
But if you built a program with some depth, you can move to
next
step.
That's exactly that's how it works. And Patrick has done that. I know he knew that this was a possibility, and I think they've planned for it. And I'm sure they'll look at some potential graduate transfers, which is a huge market these days. There's a lot of players, and I think anybody that watched Penn State play during the Big Ten tournament and the NIT said, "Man, you know what? That looks like fun. Those guys are having fun. It's a pleasing style, and you can show them that tape." I would suspect that a couple of years ago, you might not have gotten calls from guys who are already made and can help you. But I gotta think the coaching staff is going to get those kind of calls now, Steve. If they're not, and I'm sure they have a list of guys that they'd like to call as well, because that's a new part of the job, is that you can have a player come in and be ready to play.
All right, my friend. Always great. Appreciate it, Dick.
You got it. It was, Steve, we've had a lot of fun doing this over 14 seasons. This was as much fun as ever because we got to see guys that we knew could be good become about as good as they could possibly become by the end of the season. And that's why you do it. That's why it's so much fun some years. And, boy, these guys at the end, as I said on the last broadcast, the only thing I regret is they don't have more games to play because, man, they were playing great when it ended.
It was, I mean, that was as much fun as we've had. It really was.
Yep, no doubt about it. Yep, that was cool because look around, mid-January, we're kind of looking around and going, oh, boy, this is not what's going on here when Josh was out those couple of games. But, man, when he came back, different team, and it was just fun to see all the kids smiling and making New York their second home in March.
Yeah, the broadcasters were smiling too. We had a great time with it. So
yes, we yeah. did, didn't we?
Thanks, partner. Appreciate the time as always.
You got it, Steve. See you, buddy.
Dick Girardi will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.